Chapter 8.
Lyra!
A thin, reedy voice echoed out into the darkness, splintering as it bounced off crystal columns and buried itself in great sloping piles of rubble. Cold, dark pools quavered imperceptibly as the dying sounds rolled past, and then grew still once more. The endless caverns returned to their slumber.
Lyra, can you hear me?
The call was different this time, low and mellow and tinged with an Appaloosan twang. Buried away in winding burrows, gnarled little knockers looked up from their strange ancient tasks, their stone-shod hooves held motionless against the cave walls as they strained to catch the distant sound. This was not a place to be calling and wandering, not in the hungry dark. There should only be the clinking of stone against crystal and the drip of water. What was this fool, that she should be crying so loudly in the deeps? What was this fool, that she should dare remember herself to the world?
Lyra, are you there? Answer me! It's Bon Bon!
The accent was different, the pitch was different, the intonation was different, but the voice was the same, nonetheless. The knockers shook their yellowed heads, brittle glass manes creaking in the still air, and returned to their task, hammering with tiny hooves against the crystal walls. Tap. It was not their concern. The cave was greater than this interloper, whoever she might be. It was darker than her. It was older.
Lyra!
The green glow of a changeling's magic glimmered in the darkness as a creature that looked very much like a unicorn clambered down a mound of loose rock and crystal fragments. Her bruised body might have been a pale cream color, and perhaps her tangled mane and dirty tail were navy and rose, but in the green witchlight of her horn they had lost all their colors. Bon Bon half slid, half fell the last few yards, bringing a miniature avalanche of pebbles and stones skittering down with her, and somewhat to her surprise managed to land on all four hooves. Well, three hooves and a scraped knee. Close enough. The exhausted changeling raised herself upright and dimmed her horn, shivering as the blackness slowed around her. Reality withdrew and unreality slithered forward, bringing with it the doddering, emaciated scent of fairy, weakened by millennia spent gnawing at itself in the dark. Bon Bon twitched her tail irritably, as if to bat away the cloying smell, and closed her eyes, trying to focus. She could feel another power here, something else pushing against the insistent pull of reality, something more recent and alive. Magic. More specifically, pony magic. Unicorn magic. Bon Bon's head bobbed to and fro, brow furrowed in concentration as he tried to pinpoint the direction of the magic, and then drifted to a halt. Yes, there. Deeper and a little further up, where the crystals were larger and clustered more thickly together. That was the way. That was where Lyra was. She took a deep breath, set her horn glowing once more, and began clambering up the glassy face of a great slanting gypsum column. Time, time, she needed more time. She wasn't sure how long she had been in the caves, perhaps half a day, perhaps a full day. She was certainly tired enough for it to have been a full day. But she was sure, she was almost sure, that it hadn't been longer than that. No time to rest, though. Even now, Aldrovandra should be making her way up to Canterlot to betray her to Queen Chrysalis. And she had to get to Lyra first so that, whatever happened, they'd be together for it. Maybe, somehow, it would be all right. Maybe they would face Chrysalis together, filled with love for one another, and when the queen tried to drain them of it, she would be overwhelmed instead, drowned by their love like a pony drowned trying to drink a river dry. Maybe a gleam of magic would swirl around them, shining with rainbow light, and everything that belonged to fairy would creep back into the shadows in fear. Maybe. Maybe. Bon Bon chuckled mirthlessly and began gingerly making her way along a fallen crystal column, riddled with cracks, that lay half submerged in a dark pool with an unnervingly acidic smell. Maybe she wasn't a changeling anymore. Maybe she was a pony, normal and inoffensive to the universe. Maybe such a thing as luck could exist for her. Maybe she could be like Twilight Sparkle, or like the Cake's Apprentice, or like Applejack, or the Weather Team Captain, or that odd quiet Pegasus who lived near the Everfree, or Miss Rarity. Ha! Or maybe the Boogle Nas was right, and maybe the cosmos itself loathed her and everything like her, and would give her no gifts and cut her no breaks. Maybe she was, quite literally, an abomination. Maybe. Bon Bon tumbled off the other end of the crystal column, hit the ground hard, and tottered back to her hooves. She paused for a moment to check that the rope bound around her midsection was still snugly tied, and gave it a tightening tug when she discovered that it wasn't. Time enough for maybes later. It didn't matter whether she was fortune's favorite foal or the unluckiest beast under the sun. Either way, her task was the same. The battered changeling dimmed her horn again and focused again, feeling for the warm thrum of unicorn magic. Yes, there it was again, and it was close, too, considering how strong it felt. Wonderful. It shouldn't take long at all for her to... Bon Bon frowned. That was odd. For a moment, she could have sworn that she had sensed two threads of magic, one far weaker than the other. She let the light shining from her horn go out completely, straining to pick up the subtler undertones and the faint magical aura flowing around her. Yes, there was again. Another unicorn, far weaker than the first, but definitely there. Or perhaps more than just one other. Now that she concentrated on the second thread of magic, she could sense an odd echoing quality to it. There were two other ponies there. Maybe three. Four? It was hard to tell. They were so weak, though. They must be nearly dead. Bon Bon sat back on her haunches, exhausted and focused. Three, probably, and then a strange sort of subharmonic in the magic, like a rumble of distant thunder or the creaking of an overburdened wooden beam about to give way. If she could only sense it a bit more clearly. A livid green flash of fairy burst against her mind, sending Bon Bon staggering back in shock. What? It was so strong. Stronger than even the unicorn she had sensed at first. Her horn flashed green, sending out great wasteful, panicked flares of light. The thing that had so suddenly come into being, somewhere out in the dark, was a changeling. She recognized the feel of the miasma rushing past her, ravenous and writhing with a taste of lies. It had come for the imprisoned ponies, starving and weakened by whatever torture they had been through. It had come for Lyra. It would kill Lyra. It had to be stopped. Technically, what happened next was not an error of judgment on Bon Bon's part. This, however, was primarily because no judgment whatsoever was involved. Had she paused to think things through, it might have occurred to her that attempting something as difficult as a teleportation spell was probably not a wise idea, particularly since she wasn't really a unicorn and never dabbled with such magic. With a bit more time for reflection, she might also have realized what exactly performing such a demanding spell would do to her in her present weakened state. It would hardly leave her capable of going horn to horn with an unfriendly changeling. At the very most, she might be able to manage a witty insult or two, but even that was probably pushing it. She really wasn't feeling very witty at the moment. She was tired, she was scared, she was desperate, and at that moment the only thing in her mind was the thought, "Save Lyra now," running on loop and blaring at a few hundred mental decibels. So she gritted her teeth, fixed every fiber of her concentration on the source of the faint wisp of unicorn magic, and forced every last lingering thread of her own magic through her horn. Green fire blasted out and around Bon Bon, hissing and screeching against the air as the burning tongues of magic bit into the space around her, distorting and crushing it. The changeling winced and clenched her eyes shut, focusing on the spell and trying to ignore the intense headache that had just slammed against the base of her horn and was rapidly spreading to the rest of her head. She couldn't flub this. It had to work. She had to get to Lyra. Orange-red sparks swirled around her head. The spell, running out of control, was beginning to scorch her mane. Bon Bon snarled and redoubled her focus. If it was setting her on fire, some of the power was being wasted, and if it was being wasted, then she wouldn't be able to teleport. And she needed to teleport, because she needed to get to Lyra.
"Ah, Princess Cadence, I'm so pleased to see that you're behaving yourself."
It was several minutes earlier and several leagues away from the time and place of Bon Bon's attempted teleportation. A few dying flickers of green flame scuttled across the gypsum floor of an angular cavern, dancing in little panicked eddies away from a tall, gangling changeling hovering in the air, her tattered wings whirring and her fanged mouth curved in a self-satisfied smirk. Perched atop her stringy, decaying mane was a strange growth that, from a certain angle and in the right light, could almost have been called a crown. The slender changeling flittered down, corroded hooves clinking lightly against the ground, and flashed another smug smile at a ragged alicorn standing in the middle of the cave.
"So pleased, in fact, that I've brought you a little playmate. You know her, I think. I gather you used to be her foal sitter. She would not stop talking about it."
She gestured to her right, where the limp body of a small lavender unicorn had quietly flamed into existence.
"Sadly, she's feeling a bit under the weather right now. She got feisty about a third of the way through the trip when I was dragging her down past Canterlot's foundations, and I had to get a little rough with her. But she'll live. For a while, anyway."
The alicorn narrowed her eyes. "How dare you, Chrysalis!"
"How dare you? Seriously now, Princess, I expect better from you. Next you'll be telling me to stop right there, or warning me that I'll never get away with it."
Chrysalis made a strange little sound that could have almost been called a childish giggle, and then whished around, scraggly tail flying wide so that its tip almost brushed against Cadence's face.
"As it happens, though, I do dare. I have no intention of stopping, and I am getting away with it. Twilight here,"
she paused to give the unconscious unicorn a kick,
"was the only one left who suspected me, and with her safely out of the way, tomorrow's wedding will go off without a hitch. Your dearly beloved shining armor, O Princess Miamora Cadenza, will soon be mine."
"All mine," she giggled again.
"Really, if you think about it, he's stepping up in life, betrothed to a princess, but marrying a queen. Not bad, wouldn't you say?"
Princess Caden said nothing, while the glare she aimed at the gloating changeling queen said everything. Chrysalis shrugged.
Fine. Give me the silent treatment. See what I care.
She raised her head and called out,
Bridesmaids, come!
Three pairs of glimmering green eyes opened in the dark, and three unicorns dressed in incongruously festive dresses trotted forward, their hooves moving in eerie lockstep. They bowed in unison before the changeling and chorused,
Yes, O Queen?
Chrysalis smiled.
I have another minor addition to your task list. You are now to guard both the alicorn and this unicorn. Kill them if they attempt to escape.
She paused, considering.
Oh, and if they manage to overpower you, you will be unworthy of me, and you are to kill yourselves. The method doesn't matter, whatever's convenient at the time. Be creative.
She aimed a sidelong smirk at Cadence.
I do hope you continue to behave yourself, Princess. You wouldn't want their blood on your hooves now, would you?
You monster! You'll never get—
Fortunately for her dignity, Cadence wasn't allowed to finish the sentence. With a screeching, shrieking howl, a whirlwind of green flame exploded into existence between the queen and the princess, hissing madly as it scorched its way into being. Filaments of harlequin fire hung themselves out from the central vortex, dancing chaotically away into the air, and with a grunt of pain, a battered, bruised, and mildly singed unicorn tumbled out of the nothingness to land in a heap at Chrysalis's hooves, her back to the changeling queen. The newcomer raised herself halfway upright, propping her body up on shaking forehooves, and gasped to no pony in particular.
"Don't you touch her! Don't you... don't!"
She realized she wasn't speaking to any pony, glanced wildly around, and spotted Cadence, who was currently staring slack-jawed at her and making noises. The newcomer blinked.
Oh, the strong one was an alicorn, but...
She craned her head back to look over her shoulder and spotted Chrysalis.
Oh,
she paused to consider.
Pony feathers. There were others, I felt...
The pale unicorn noticed the three bewitched bridesmaids standing at attention at Chrysalis's back and yelped,
Lyra! Lyra, I'm here, it's me, I...
Then to Chrysalis,
Don't you dare touch her! I'll kill you if you touch her! Don't you dare! Don't...
She trailed off, managed one more weak pony feathers, and then her hooves crumpled beneath her and she slid down to the cave floor. There was a long moment of silence.
What?
Said Chrysalis. Bonbon, who was currently trying to stay conscious and finding it an unexpectedly demanding task, didn't respond. The changeling queen lowered her head and peered at the exhausted unicorn laying before her.
Who are you? Speak! How did you know the princess was... Wait.
She flicked her tongue out of her mouth, tasting the air.
You aren't a pony.
Her tongue slithered out and back a second time.
You are a she, and not just she, but a changeling.
Her narrowed eyes widened, and her angular face was split by a feigned smile.
Ah, yes, I remember now. We met some days ago in Canterlot near the delectable Shining Armor's little lair. Though you had taken the shape of an earth pony then, I recall. You must be the traitor that Shellycoat told me about. Mindax is your name, yes?
Bite iron, hissed Bonbon. Chrysalis aimed a vicious kick at the limp changeling, and Bonbon choked back a whimper as the rager edges of the queen's cavity-ridden hoof bit into her skin. Princess Cadence gasped and took a half-step forward.
Stop it! Leave her alone!
Hold your tongue, pony. This doesn't concern you.
The queen's horn flared with venomous light, and a wall of crystals ripped themselves up of the cavern floor, arcing up and over the alicorn to seal her inside a crystalline cell, muffling her cries. Chrysalis's mouth twitched into a brief smile, and then she turned back to Bonbon.
Bite iron? My, you have quite the mouth on you, don't you?
The skeletal black creature's wings flickered out, and she lifted herself up into the air, hovering above Bonbon.
And that's not the least of your crimes, is it?
She smirked.
You weren't quite as unseen as you thought. A Shellycoat in the Great Basin saw what you did to that poor Kelpie, and she came to me and told me everything. Normally I'd just leave you here to rot, but that seems too merciful, all things considered.
She raised the hoof and tapped her snout theatrically.
What shall I do with you? Take your own suggestion and force iron down your throat, perhaps? That would be very satisfying, certainly, but even that doesn't strike me as quite harsh enough for your sins.
She considered a few more seconds, then turned her head towards the three bridesmaids.
You! Which of you is Lyra?
Bonbon wrenched herself back up to her forehose.
No!
No, no!
Mimicked the queen, giggling as the leftmost of the enchanted unicorns, pale green and wearing a dirty yellow silk dress, trotted robotically forward. The green light of changeling glamour sparked in her eyes. With a whirring of her membranous wings, the changeling queen turned back to Lyra.
You! You knew this creature, didn't you?
Lyra shook her head and droned.
No, my queen.
Chrysalis raised an eyebrow.
No, but... Ah, of course.
She gave a casual toss of her horn, and there was a flash of green fire at the crest of Bonbon's navy and rose-colored mane, and the mare let out a shriek of pain as her horn was scorched out of existence. The changeling queen gestured at Bonbon.
No.
Lyra nodded.
Yes, my queen.
Excellent. You were fond of her.
I loved her.
Chrysalis ran a thin tongue across her lips as if savoring the memory of some delicious flavor and continued.
And she is fond of you?
She loves me.
Charming. Well then, the changeling queen said to Bonbon, that makes things fairly simple. We shouldn't have any trouble covering both the physical and psychological aspects of your punishment, dearie.
She gestured to Lyra to come forward.
You, bridesmaid, are to kill this mare.
Uh-huh.
She raised the hoof as Lyra started towards Bonbon, her face blank and her horns sparking with lethal energy.
Not quickly. It must be slow, slow and painful. I suggest pressing small pieces of iron against her skin. There is ancient mining equipment in these caves, so there should be nails and similar things lying around. You might also cut her up a bit in spots. That won't kill her immediately. Make her look like she's been through Tartarus and back, you understand? Then, when she's mere minutes from death, my power over you is to end. You are to remember who you are and who she is and what you did to her.
Chrysalis kneeled down beside Bonbon, who felt like screaming but couldn't quite seem to get enough air into her lungs to do so, and with a slender hoof lifted the little changeling's head, forcing Bonbon to meet her gaze.
And the last thing you see, little race traitor, will be the pony that you've had the almighty gall to dare to love, howling with the kind of misery that shatters souls.
She let Bonbon's head drop back to the stone floor, strained herself, and smiled.
Well, that's taken care of then. I'd stay to watch how you get on, but I have a lot to do right now, and quite frankly, I don't have the stomach to watch. I don't take any pleasure in this, you know. I just want to make sure that justice is served.
The queen glanced around the vaulted crystal cavern, taking in Cadence's cell, the unconscious lavender unicorn, her three enchanted bridesmaids, and Bonbon lying crumpled at her hooves. She smiled and repeated,
"That's taken care of. You two," she said, gesturing to the other two bridesmaids.
Bonbon recognized one of them as Twinkleshine, the pony she had impersonated when speaking with Princess Luna, but the second was strange to her.
"Be sure to kill your compatriot after she's done away with this changing and is no longer under the influence of my glamour. I can't have her making a nuisance of herself."
Chrysalis raised her horns, and a flood of green fire swirling around her body, and assumed the shape of Princess Cadence.
"This day really has been perfect," she said.
There was another burst of fire and a flash of light, and with a crackling roar she was gone. The cavern was swallowed up in total darkness once again, and for a moment all was still and quiet. For a moment.
Chink!
Lyra's eyes gleamed in the darkness, her pupils flickering eerily as she made her way towards Bonbon. With an effort that would have put an Ursa Major to shame, Bonbon managed to lift her head, staring up at the approaching eyes. This couldn't happen. She couldn't let this happen. No good. Try again. Had to try again. The eyes drew closer, little flickers of golden magic slithering up the sharp horn above them. Lyra! Lyra didn't blink, didn't hesitate, didn't pause.
Clink, clock, dip!
The sound of her hooves echoed in the darkness. Bonbon forced herself to draw another breath, straining to keep her head upright. It was all her fault. Lyra deserved better. It couldn't end like this.
Lyra, it's me, it's Bonbon. Don't, you're stronger than...
The pale green mare came to a halt in front of Bonbon, staring blankly down at her. Several small sharp stones lying on the cave floor shuddered, and then rose up into the air, wrapped in Lyra's magic.
You might also cut her up a bit, Chrysalis had said.
Lyra would be starting with that, then. There wasn't any hope. She had failed. She was unseelie after all, in the oldest and darkest meaning of the word. Unlucky, cursed, and doomed. And now Lyra was doomed with her. It was all her fault. All those years of lies and half-truths. Every time she resolved to tell Lyra what she really was, and then put it off until later. That had caused this. She had caused this. Lyra, I'm so sorry. Lyra didn't react, her face impassive as she began to strike two of the stones together, napping them to vicious sharpness. Bonbon bowed her head. Their life used to be so happy, so very happy. She remembered the crisp autumn evenings back in Ponyville, when Lyra would trot through the front door exhausted from hours of playing her lyre at this wedding or that family reunion and brimming with happiness to be back at home again. She remembered the crackle of firelight, the taste of warm cocoa, and the warmth of Lyra's flank against her own as they cuddled together under a blanket in front of the hearth. She remembered helping Lyra stand upright, encouraging her in her strange, heartfelt hobbies, laughing at her stories and soothing her in her darker moods. She remembered Lyra soothing her in turn, comforting her when faced specters stalked through the darkness of her mind, and the great howling madness of fairy battered against the safe, happy little world the changeling had constructed for herself. Lyra had always driven it away again. Even without knowing what she was fighting, even without knowing that she was fighting anything, the brave, beautiful mare had always driven it away. The warmth had always returned. It had been so wonderful. Bon Bon knew that the memories were draining her. She was a changeling, and changelings fed on love. They didn't give it away. They couldn't afford to. The love for Lyra swelling within her was rushing out like a great glacial lake tearing its way free of an ice dam, ripping the last fragments of her own strength to pieces and carrying them with it as it flooded away. She didn't care. The little she forced her head higher, meeting Lyra's eyes. She knew what she wanted her last words to be, and what she wanted her last thought to be. I love you, Lyra. Even as she said it, a deeper blackness in the darkness of the cavern was already creeping in around the edge of her vision, and her thoughts were beginning to grow jumbled, fraying and snagging themselves on one another. As her sight dimmed, she saw, or thought she saw, a strange quiver in the glamour filling Lyra's eyes, like a candle flame guttering in a sudden draft. She had no time to wonder what it meant, though. With the suddenness and finality of a thunderclap, her sight failed completely, and silence claimed her thoughts. Half-sharpened stones rattled harmlessly down beside Bon Bon's body, released from the magic that had been holding them in the air. A pale green unicorn blinked eyes that still burned with Queen Chrysalis's glamour, but only weakly. The glamour was fed by love wrapped in purpose, and now, presented with two loves and two purposes, it strained against itself. The unicorn blinked again, and then noticed the mare lying at her hooves. There was a cry in the darkness. Beneath the fire-red leaves are tossed upon the wind. Slowly, feeling crept back into Bon Bon's body, ringing in her bones and aching in her muscles. What? Where was she? What had happened? She tried to open her eyes, but couldn't quite manage it. I walked alone for many a day on past Napony, to far away where fir and hemlock grows. Bon Bon shivered. Snow. Cold. Something was cold underneath her. Cold and hard. Not snow. Rock. She was in a cave, yes, that was right. But she felt something warm against her side, too, and a song? Some pony was singing. She said, I've heard the wild ones howl, I've danced with wendigos. I've flown above the drifting clouds and dive beneath ice floes. But never, oh, never, she said to me, never in all my days have I seen your love with her eyes of green and her mark of shining rays. It was a familiar song, an old folk tune loved by old ponies and smoothed to river stone perfection by the thousands of tongues that had sung it. It reminded her of wood and wool and the gleam of brass. It felt safe. Bon Bon tried to move and immediately regretted it, whimpering at the pain stabbing at her limbs. The singer paused and said, Shh, Bonnie, shh, it's okay, I'm here. And then she drew a breath and continued. I walked alone for many a day on paths no pony knows. I wandered south to far away where fig and upas grows. I met an Awizadalair who swam by sunken trees. I told him of my long-lost love and begged him tell me please. If ever, oh ever, in jungle thick on branch that bends and sways, has he seen my love with their eyes of green and mark of shining rays? He said, I've heard the wild ones howl, I've fished in stream and mere. Mapungari's hunted me, and I have hunted fear. But never, oh never, he said to me, never in all my days have I seen your love with eyes of green and her mark of shining rays. It was impossible. It couldn't be. Chrysalis had enchanted. Lyra had been going to kill her. But she could feel a familiar heartbeat by her side, and could hear the familiar tones of her mare friend's voice. Bon Bon's blue-gray eyes flickered open, and she found herself looking into the unicorn's amber eyes, illuminated by the gentle golden glow of her horn. Lyra smiled, her eyes creased with happiness and tears glimmering at their corners, and continued singing. In a voice that began weak and then gradually grew stronger, Bon Bon joined in, and the two mares sang in harmony, their voices echoing together through the caverns beneath the canterhorn. I walked alone for many a day on paths no pony knows. I wandered home from far away where oak and maple grows. I met a hooded pony there who'd wandered overseas. I told her of my long-lost love and begged her tell me please. If ever, oh ever, on distant shore or in the sunlit bays, had she seen my love with eyes of green and her mark of shining rays. She said, I ventured west of fire and east I've sallied forth. I braved the heat of the sultry south and the snows of the freezing north. But never, oh, never, she said to me, as her hood she withdrew and looked at me with eyes of green, did I stop looking for you.